Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
SansPants Radio, Australia's most procedurally generated podcast network.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Levins.
I am John.
Wow. And we are in a different room, a more echoey room.
Yes.
It's a different timbre to our voices today.
Yes, definitely.
So, www.howsourtimbre.com. Register that and then let us know.
1-800, how's our timber?
So this is an indie game podcast, and this week we are talking about a whole bunch of games that came to our phones and our iPads and our Apple TV units.
And our lives.
Very recently, two episodes ago, we talked about the launch of Apple Arcade. And this is a little bit of a follow-up. I imagine we're going to do a couple of these throughout the year, but this episode is going to be entirely dedicated to some amazing games and some not so amazing games that we've discovered on the Apple Arcade service. At the moment, it's free. Your first month is free. All you need is an Apple device. And then going on past that point, it's $5 American or $8 Australian.
Which is bargain. Absolute bargain.
Yeah, I mean, most of these games on here, even the ones I didn't like, I probably would have paid for just to check them out for myself.
Yeah, totally.
And I probably would have paid, seven, five. Like, it's pretty easy to see the value in this as a monthly service.
Yeah. $8 is the amount that, for an individual game, that's the point at which I'm like, do I really want this?
Yeah.
Like, anything below $8, I'm willing to just be like, hell yeah, let's roll the dice.
It's funny though, isn't it? Like, I mean, we're very happy to pay $20-$25 for Untitled Goose Game, which is like the kind of length of a lot of the, I mean, a couple of these games that I've been playing on the Apple Arcade are definitely longer than my experience of Goose Game. And when obviously, like, you know, measurement of games should not be done by time.
Yes, of course.
But I think the main thing stopping you from investing, you know, it's fucking unheard of to put $20 towards a phone game.
Yeah. I think the phone game is a term that carries stigma.
Yes, definitely.
Like, you don't hear phone game and go like, oh, hell yeah, this is going to be great. Even though now, thanks to Apple Arcade, there are fantastic phone games.
Yeah, so we wanted to go through a number of our favorite games. And maybe just, I've played a few that I didn't, that weren't really for me.
Yeah, I definitely, there's a couple as well that I had a swing at and then went like, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. But before we get into the good stuff, something fucking earth-shatteringly horrible happened to you, John.
Yes.
Re-Apple Arcade.
So probably about 2 days after after Apple Arcade came out and like, no, 3 days after Apple Arcade came out and like a day after I'd just gotten the latest iPhone.
Oh shit, you got an 11?
Yeah, I got just the base 11, but I was like, my old phone, I'd wake up and like check Twitter and suddenly it's on 40%. Like the battery was just shot. It was kind of a piece of crap. So I thought, screw it, upgrading. I've got a holiday coming up soon, so now I've got a nice fancy camera to use as well, the whole nine yards. Start playing all these games, loving them, enjoying them. Next thing I know, most of the games are like freezing when they open. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? So I go to Game Center to be like, hey, what's
the Game Center is like the, I guess it's your username. It's all the login details for your games.
I'd almost say it's like PSN or Xbox Live, but for iOS.
Yeah.
Essentially. It lets you play multiplayer and tracks your game progress, saves game progress, that kind of stuff. So Game Center just would freeze. Like, it wouldn't even open. It would just... I'd tap the Game Center button and settings would freeze. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't scroll, couldn't open anything else. Had to, like, shut it down. This, I, like, started dealing with Apple support on Twitter. And because they're in America, it means, like, there was one time a day where we would exchange messages. So it was this, like, 24-hour process of, like, what device do you have? I have an iPhone 11. 24 hours passes. Are you on the latest iOS? Yes, I am. 24 hours passes. Like, this is killing me.
That's awful.
So it just meant, like, there were a few games that still worked, like What the Golf still worked. So I,
the most,
like,
important one.
Of course, which is why I'm like 96, 97% shit. Completion.
That's wild.
Because I poured a bunch of time into it.
Because you just couldn't do
it. Because I couldn't play anything else. Like, all of... Most, I think, to like a good 90% of the games require Game Center to actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was just... I had this... Like, I had 10, 15 games on my phone that I just couldn't touch because I didn't have Game Center. Finally got to the point where I'm like, fuck it, I'll just get an appointment at the Genius Bar at the nearest Apple store. Went in there, explained the problem to the guy, showed him what happened. He's like, we've never seen this before. We don't know what's going on. I'm going to try doing like a hard restart, which is where, you know, you hold the button, down so long that it just switches the whole phone and turns it on. That finally got it working. And that was like 2 days ago. So suddenly, and then realizing we were recording, I was like, oh God, I've got to play so many games now, which is never a bad thing really. But yeah, it's just been talking to the guys like, look, we just launched Apple Arcade. I think there's just teething trouble. All these people trying to get into Game Center at the same time, essentially. So that might be something that was causing a problem.
In summation, he turned it off and turned it on again.
Yeah, I know. I was sitting in Broadway like, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
God damn it.
Why didn't Apple support just go hard restart your phone to begin with?
Yeah, like, yeah.
So frustrating. But
I thought you were going to say that he wiped your phone and reinstalled everything.
No, he was like, that is an absolute loss. Like,
honestly, that doesn't actually take that long to ever do that. Yeah.
Like, still doing it, like... If you don't need to do it,
it's not a fun process.
Yeah, so I'm going to be just hard restarting my phone when anything happens now.
Yeah, I reckon I wouldn't hit a hard restart once a month.
Yeah, just it's like, yeah, it refreshes everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like changing the sheets on your bed. It's
like
just nice.
It's like the Blood Moon in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Less skeletons coming out of the ground, though. Is that disappointing? Maybe.
So that's the grim stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, front page news all week. John can't play Apple Arcade games.
If this is happening to any of you guys out there, give it the old HR. Give it the old hard restart. See what happens.
Perfect. So let's talk about What the Golf a little bit more. We talked about it last a couple of episodes ago. And it was
It had been out for like...
A couple hours.
5 hours by the time we talked about it.
But both of us were drawn to it immediately. Mm. This is, of course, developed by Triband and published by Fig. It's coming soon to Switch and PC. But at the moment, yeah, it's an Apple Arcade exclusive.
Yes.
I should say that I've since installed Apple Arcade on my iPad and on my Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
And some of these games play completely differently on Apple TV.
Really?
I haven't synced up a PS4 controller yet. I'll get into it when I talk about some particular games later on.
Cool.
But what the Golf plays really, really well with the remote.
Right. Okay.
Have you used an Apple TV remote before?
It's the really like thin little one, right?
Yeah, but it has like
jog
a
wheel on it.
It's not a jog wheel. It's a touchpad.
Okay.
So it plays very similar to the way you would play on your phone. I didn't get up to any of the levels, like the first person levels of What the Golf,
mm-hmm.
to see how that was implemented on the TV. I'm very interested to see if they do. Implemented at all? Like,
those were always the most frustrating ones for me because I'd just be on the couch churning through levels
in
and like,
bed.
Oh god, now I got to stand up and like turn around and do something. Boo!
I've been touring with the music festival, and on Saturday night I was in Brisbane, and I had a 3 a.m. lobby call to get a red eye flight to Perth via Adelaide at 4:45 in the morning. And so it was like 10:30 and I was like, I don't want to go to sleep. I was like, I'll play What the Golf for a little bit. And like was lying in bed playing the levels. And I got to the first person level. And like, so when you, it's all done. It's with the gyroscope within the phone. So you have to move yourself around to aim.
Mm-hmm.
And cause I was at the position that I was lying down and all you can see is the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh fuck this. I'm not moving. And I just went to sleep. So in a way they're good.
I contorted myself sitting on the couch, like holding the phone behind me and trying to use my peripheral vision to see what I was aiming at.
Get a mirror out.
Yeah. But yeah, it's such a good game.
Well, the golf is one of my there's two Apple Arcade games that I've played that I think are two of my games of the year.
Yep, this is definitely on my GOTY list.
What the game of the year is? That it's significantly easier thing to say than GOTY. Yeah. I think
Magoty. It's on Magoty list.
What the golf? Yeah, I mean, like we mentioned before, it's a kind of very goofy physics based golf game.
Yeah,
it's pegged as a golf game for people who hate golf.
Yes,
And it has this great feature on it where when you go to the home screen, you can either immediately go to the last level you're at,
start your campaign.
You can start your campaign or like continue your campaign. Yep. But if you swipe to the right, it says there's an option for showing a friend. Mm. And I have had so much fun showing friends, wives, sons. My son thought it was the funniest thing ever.
I was wondering about that, yeah.
Known game hater and someone who we both have shared a house with in the past, Splitter.
Really?
I was like, hey, check this out. He's like, I don't like games, cuz. And
the cuz really sells it
for me. It was like, this is on the way to the bus at three in the morning on that Sunday morning. It gives you kind of like the tutorial almost to show a friend. Mm. So first you're lining up a regular golf shot, and then the second one is when you pull it back and it sends your golfer, the man, basically. Yeah. You've got to send your person all the way to the hole. And he started cracking up.
Yeah.
And then it's a house. It's a whole bunch of balls.
It's essentially a buffet of kind of different types of game throughout the like whole major game. It misses some, but it doesn't have like... It goes for about 5 to 7 golf levels and then switches to soccer levels for a while.
Yeah, totally.
And then switches to, like, I think it throws in some of the, like, the driving levels, the super hot level.
Oh my God, they're so good, yeah. And there's a lot of homages. Yeah, we mentioned last week there was a super hot homage kind of, like, level pack. There's,
there's Mario. It was, like, almost a Nintendo homage. There's, like, Donkey Kong, Mario.
Yes, very true, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there is...
Portal.
Portal, that's what I was trying to get to. I'm like, what's the one with the P where you're opening those two portals?
The Portal one is actually, like, that's one that, funnily enough, we both got stuck on this one because it was just, like, an ordinary-looking level said...
I'll find the screenshot. So I was like, yeah, we both encountered this weird glitch.
But it's just, like, it said, like, something on the background, like, Portal level, gave the level number, and then said, take screenshot. And I got so frustrated that I eventually messaged Levins and was like, what the hell do I do with this? And sent the screenshot. And you said, I have no idea. And I was like, God damn it, now I'm stuck on this level.
I just sent back the screen. It's the same screenshot that I took of this exactly, me in the same spot.
Yeah. But thankfully, I saw on Twitter that someone had contacted Triband and was like, what's the go with this level? And they're like, nope, it's a bug.
Yeah, great.
And then when, like, updated and suddenly that level was just gone.
Yeah, they deleted it.
But even the other level in that area took me so... The one where it's like you can put two portals, like...
Yeah, I haven't finished a lot of those ones, I think.
Yeah, I finally finished, like, got crowned for that level because it was just like... It took me so long to figure out. When I got there, I was like, oh... It was fun to be like, I figured this out myself. I'm so happy I didn't find like a playthrough or something to get an idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But oh my God, it took so long.
Totally.
It was so frustrating.
Well, so yeah, because I did a lot of video gaming over on the plane.
I was curious about, was it like, because generally, when you do these music festivals, you're playing something. Like famously, it was Hollow Knight at
In my tent
Splendor.
At Splendor, yeah.
Yep.
This time it was I for the most part I played Link's Awakening, the remake
on
Switch,
sure.
Which I talked about on Hey Fam this week. Really enjoyed my time with that. But yeah, then I the Switch battery only lasts for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So on the flight to Perth, I would then just get my phone out and play some Apple Arcade shit. So yeah, What the Golf? I rolled credits on that one. I'm at about 65% completion.
Yep.
And I was like, cool, I'm gonna go see some other games that are on this system. I would say What the Golf is like reason alone to
100%.
Like, obviously get the service, but also get an Apple device.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's coming to other platforms. I can't imagine it'll be better to play on any other platform than this phone.
I think you said a couple of episodes ago that the cheapest entry point is Apple TV.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they're about $200.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And I've tested What the Golf on my TV. It's really fun. It plays really well. So
if you're one of those cynical Android users, and Lord knows we know a few of them.
Were you one at any point?
No,
no.
God,
so you've always been a PC guy, but an iPhone user.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you're one of them Android peeps, just buy an Apple TV.
Yeah, just drop $200 on that.
Yeah, why not? It's worth it for what the golf alone.
I hope they bring it to Apple Watch. I don't know how they would do it, but imagine Apple, like a bunch of Apple Arcade games made for Watch. That'd be great. Because there's a lot of technology in this thing. And like, there's a few games for it, but none of them look any good.
They're mainly text-based. It's games where it's like it sends you messages.
Yeah, maybe I should play one of them.
Yeah,
if anyone has any recommendations for a good Apple Watch game, I'll give one a shot.
Sure.
Because that's what I definitely need. It's another distraction from everything else I need to do in my life. So I moved immediately on from What the Golf to Sayonara Wild Hearts, which you talked about two episodes ago. You played it on Switch. I had played one level of it, and that is not indicative of what the rest of that game is like at all.
No.
Sayonara Wild Hearts is...
although I do that first level with that electronica version of Claire de Lune.
Oh my god, so good. And I was listening to the soundtrack the other night in the car, and my wife was like, why are you listening to the Ocean's 11 soundtrack? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And yeah, sure enough, it was Claire de Lune. I didn't even realize. So Sayonara Wild Hearts was developed by Simogo and published by Annapurna Interactive. John talked about it two episodes ago, but it is like a musical album that has a game in it, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's about having your heart broken and fighting. It's kind of like reminds. Did you compare it to Scott Pilgrim in a way?
No, I didn't. You're
not so much fighting your exes. You're kind of fighting. Are they your exes? I don't know. It's open to interpretation.
They're like they're representations of tarot cards.
Right. Okay. Sure.
Like I believe I said two episodes ago. Like I don't know what's happening in this story.
Yeah,
I
don't think it's really important. But, yeah. Basically, it's like a little bit of a rhythm game, a little bit of a free runner kind of game.
Yeah, that's fair.
And at some parts, actually, and this is similar to What the Golf, some levels in What the Golf 2, it's almost like a Guitar Hero game where you have to move yourself. The majority of levels are you either riding a big tarot card or riding a motorbike through a street.
Yep.
And you've got to basically on the phone, you have to swipe left or right. I imagine you use the controller.
Yeah, of course.
God, there were some painful parts where I was like, why am I playing this on a phone?
Yeah.
Where you're just like furiously, like there's one part where like there's so many hazards that...
Oh, it's easier on a Switch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's one character that's always clicking, and every time he clicks, the hazards flick from one lane to the next lane,
yes.
Which is a brilliant mechanic, but on a phone trying to frantically swipe and I wasn't swiping far enough I never quite realized, nailed... Are you meant to keep your finger on the phone the entire time and move it from one side to the other? Or is it better to swipe and then release, swipe and release?
Yeah.
I never really felt totally in tune with what the game wanted me to do in that regard. But man, that game gets so good. And like the final few fights and songs that you were playing, it just levels up so much. The music rules.
Yeah, it's really good. I guess you've got a streaming service, but you've listened to the soundtrack?
Yeah, on Apple Music constantly. Yeah.
It's real cool.
Yeah, it's great. The Claire de Lune is a hot intro, but I think I might end this episode with the Sayonara Wild Hearts song as well.
Nice.
Because I loved it. But yeah, there's also a Guitar Hero level in
What the Golf.
And I could not swipe my hand fast enough to...
Really?
It was really unforgiving. It's one of the few that I was just like, next.
This is one of the very, very rare times where I'm like, I'm better at a game than Levin's is. It happens so rarely. I'm just going to bask in it for a hot second.
Please, You bask in it until the next... Mud Runners comes out.
Yeah, of course.
Because I'll never get good at that game. Because I'll never play.
Exactly. Sayonara Wild Hearts, again, I think is one of those if What the Golf is a top reason, Sayonara Wild Hearts is another reason to sign up for the service.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend playing it on any platform you can, but I mean, it is just another perk of Apple Arcade, and it looks fantastic on the phone. It looks amazing on Apple TV. I'm considering... Once we all get... I'm moving house this week, which sucks a million butts. But
at the same time, new house.
New house, and I'm probably going to upgrade my TV once we get settled and mount that motherfucker on the wall. Going to get the speakers mounted next to it as well. Oof. Very excited about that. And I'm looking forward to sitting down when I have a spare 2 hours at some point in the future and and forcing my wife to play Sayonara Wild Hearts.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's another one of my games of the year as well. The fact that Apple Arcade, which neither of us were quite sure about, I'm absolutely certain that those are two of my top 10 games of the year.
Sure.
And they were both, at this point, free.
Yeah.
I could cancel the service at the end of the month, and those two games would just be two free things that I got because I was on this thing for a bit.
But I...
I'm not cancelling.
I see. I was going to say, I see the thriftiness of it, but
I ain't leaving.
I'm riding this bitch till the very, till the absolute bitter end.
Yeah, until it destroys the games industry.
Yeah.
Those are the two games that I would recommend the highest.
Yep.
There's a few other great games that I've played a small amount of. I think you've played considerably more of Grindstone than
yes.
I have. Grindstone is a Cappy game. And I know Cappy because it was one of the first indie games I ever played.
Yeah.
On the PS3 Critter Crunch.
Really?
Did you ever play that game?
I didn't, know.
It was a really fun kind of like puzzle game. And this is not too far removed from what this is.
Because I know them for Swords and Sorcery.
Oh, shit. That's them too. Right. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I believe, I'm pretty damn sure.
Isn't that Super Brothers, Cappy?
I think it's one of those things where it's like Super Brothers Presents, but let me...
Cappy Games. What have we got? Oh, and then Cappy, of course, is sort of short for that weird animal, the capybara.
Yeah, capybara. Yeah, they did Super Time Force, Super Brothers Presents, Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP. They did Below, which I've reviewed before and wasn't a big old fan of. But
right.
Yeah, Critter Crunch, they did a Cars game. It's in the movie. Grindstone is... The story is you play this kind of big fighter dude who has to clear a mountain of like monsters and enemies and stuff.
And when it's a pattern recognition game. It's kind of similar to like Zookeeper.
Yes.
If you ever played that brilliant Japanese puzzle game.
So essentially you start on a level surrounded by enemies. All the enemies have different colors. You need to chain together attacks on similar colors.
Yep.
Chain enough of them and you'll generate a gem will appear in the level on the next turn and you can use that gem to...
Yeah, every time you chain 7 monsters or more, you get a gemstone, a grindstone.
Yeah, a grindstone. And the higher, the larger amount that you destroy, essentially, the bigger a grindstone you get. But you can use those grindstones to change colors. So you can start stringing together these huge runs of like... all the yellows on the screen, hit a grindstone, then all the blues kind of thing. It's fun. It's like
super fun.
A perfect phone game because it's just that easy swiping. It's great because you can kind of swipe around and set up your run, but you don't actually start attacking until you hit the go button. So it gives you a lot more time to like sit and consider what you're doing and see if there's any way you can like make your attack more efficient or bring more enemies into it and that kind of stuff. Like I found that I start like going from just early levels of like cool swipe 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 to like sitting there and really tactically considering what's happening on the board and what's the most effective move I can make.
And you don't know when you're not moving, you're not at risk.
Yes.
But the longer you stay in a level, you can pretty much play these levels forever.
Yeah.
But the longer you stay in a level, the deadlier all the creatures that you're trying to chain together turn can attack you.
Yeah. They have calm states, but then they get like angry states where it's they're like they've got angry faces and they're jittering around, and if you land next to them they'll attack you at the end of your turn. You open the end of the level by, I mean there are a few different end states, but like mostly it's kill 30 critters and then make your way. There's like a big door at the top of the level that you need to then break through, but like you were saying, you can just mess around in these levels forever.
Yeah,
you don't need to leave.
This is such a one that I could see myself getting properly addicted to.
Yeah,
it were there not a million other games that also came out at the same time. Like I was like, okay, I know what kind of game this is. I really like it. I wanted to call it a match 3 game, but you're matching sometimes like 10,
yeah,
20,
10, 15.
Yeah, yeah. On.
This was the game that like I had just been tearing into this game and was like, oh shit, I really like this. This is great. And then my game center shut down.
Damn.
And I was like, ugh! Because that was another one that would start up. But it put me right at the beginning again.
Oh,
and this
right.
is when
yeah,
I'd
sure.
already passed like 8 or 9 levels.
Damn
and
it.
I was like, I don't want to play through that again. It's fun, but damn it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On that note, even though it's not quite the same kind of game, but it's I kind of put in the same kind of like puzzle-y strategy game, is Card of Darkness.
Okay.
Have you heard of this one? This is one that Pendleton Ward from Adventure Time is involved with.
Right, okay.
It's not someone that I put any time in yet, but that's one that's staring at me. I know what kind of game it's going to be. Like, it's a card.
Sure.
Card strategy game. Apparently, it's excellent. It's something I'm going to try and play before we record again in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
On the games that I'm not too crazy about, I played the latest game by us two, who are responsible for Monument Valley 1 and 2. I love the Monument Valley games. I think they're two of the best games to ever be on iPhone and on other Android devices as well, I assume. But their latest game is called Assemble with Care.
Mm-hmm.
And you play a girl who moves away from her parents to a new town, and you befriend people in town, and you repair their things.
Yes.
So the game mechanic is that there are these, like, broken objects that you have to like turn around, unscrew, dismantle, pull apart, and then like repair and then put back together.
Yeah.
That mechanic is so well done. It's really, really relaxing and just like fun and intuitive. But the whole thing is bound together by like a visual novel.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most overwritten thing I've ever experienced.
It was very like, you're this, like you said, you moved to town and you start helping these people. They're bringing you their objects to fix. But then you kind of realize that really you're fixing their relationships.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I was like, that was the point when I was like, tap, 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 get through the story as quickly as possible.
The story is
next object.
The story though is so simple that it could just be told without words, which is how the story was told in Monument Valley really well, I think.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we, because not only is it like, if it was just a visual novel that had just the text that you could read, it has like voice actors doing all the lines, and like, it's so over the top.
Yeah.
I know it's optional. You could skip through it and stuff like that, but I kind of like, I didn't want to. I was like slightly invested in the story. And then by the end I was like, why did I read all that? Like, why did I listen to that? Like,
I reached a point where I was like, I don't need to hear
the
talking, and my reading speed is so much faster than this person talking.
Totally,
so it's just like flick. Yeah. I read the whole story too, and it just was like, by the end I was like, okay, you're laying this on with a trowel now, like, enough. But I agree, I loved all the dismantling stuff. Like, it was great.
My ideal version of this game is just like a garage full of broken things. No
Perfect.
Talking. You just push a broken item in the garage, and over the next month you fix those virtual things.
Yeah. Even like, I was breaking this down in my head the other day. Like, even in this virtual garage, there are things you can't save, but you can take stuff out to use to fix other things.
I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
Us too, if you're listening.
And then you sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
To buy more junk for you to fix.
This is the perfect game.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what House Flipper is like?
No.
No, damn.
No.
I want a game where you just fix broken shit. That's super fun.
Yeah. And especially like, if it's using the same interaction mechanics that it uses in Assemble with Care.
Which is very similar to the way you manipulated the maps in Monument Valley. Like the levels in that. Like, it's, you can see how they went from this that to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I've got a few.
Okay.
I've been playing a game called Word Laces with my son.
Yes.
So Archie,
okay. That makes perfect sense.
Archie loves this game called Wordscapes, which every day you get like, it's like thousands of levels where you just get like a scramble of letters, and your job is to unscramble the letters and find all the words you can make out of like six to eight letters.
Oh, I'm very familiar.
All right. Archie is up to like almost level 400. He loves that game.
Oh,
every time he has a spare moment, he's like, Dad, can we play WORDS?
That's great educationally as well.
Oh, his word and his vocab is really amazing.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And whenever they like parents at his school are like, hey, why is Archie so good at unscrambling words? I got that recently.
Gets it from his dad.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's in his genes. I've been playing Word Lasers with him instead. It's okay. A much better game than Wordscapes. Basically, you get given a picture, and within that picture, you have to have a look at, like, say, it's, maybe it'll be like one of them is like a snail on a frog on a turtle.
Yep.
And so you have to first you'll find the word turtle, then you'll find the word snail, then you'll find the word frog, and then there'll be like a fucking green or like amphibian or something like that in there as well. And there's a bunch of letters beneath the picture, and you have to lace all the letters together to make a word.
Yeah.
And as you unlock a certain amount of levels, you unlock a new shoe, and then that themes what the laces look like. So it'll be like ballet laces, or it'll be like tree laces, or right. Like, yeah. So I'm really enjoying that one. I mean, is it like an educational game? Maybe a great little time killer. There's 1,000 levels in the pack, it's a really, really well produced letter game.
Because I jumped in on it yesterday just for a little bit, and I think you're in the perfect situation with it. You have a young kid learning vocabulary, all that kind of stuff. I was like, bit simple. Like,
it gets more difficult later on. There are words where it was like almost like a thesaurus. It's like it's a picture of someone that's fallen off his bike, and then you have to like find like eight different words that are different words for accident.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I was sort of like, I went through to I got my first shoe, which was a moccasin, and then I was like, okay, I don't need to play any more of this. I kind of get the idea. But I think, yeah, the situation you're in with it with a young kid, perfect.
Yeah, he was absolutely perfect. He yesterday said, I like this more than Wordscapes. So,
ooh, damn.
Big Archie thumbs up.
Shots fired.
There's a couple of Devolver games that I've been playing. I know you've played a little bit of Cricket Through the Ages already.
Love Cricket Through the Ages.
So I need to get into that.
It's so dumb and so funny. It's again, it's like a physics almost battle game where it's two people facing off, and you can either like tap the screen to move your character.
Yep.
Almost like the movement reminds me a little of like Quop.
Oh, right. Okay.
Did you ever play Quop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're not awesome. Controlling individual limbs, but just it moves in this really jerky, weird way. But, it essentially tells the story of, as the title suggests, Cricket Through the Ages, in that like in prehistoric times humanity was tearing themselves apart, and then cricket was created. And so it has this mechanic where you hold the screen and your character starts like whipping their arm around in a circle, and you'll be holding something, and then when you release, it'll throw whatever you're holding.
Oh, that's so fun.
So, but the longer you hold, the quicker you're spinning. So if you manage to nail the angle, you'll throw whatever you're holding at the person you're standing against. But most of the time, you mistime it, and you just hurl your rock behind you.
Oh, like the stupid bowling levels of what the golf.
Yeah, pretty much.
Worst levels, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. but it just like, so it goes through like medieval times, where you're knights and stuff like that. And then finally it gets to actual cricket.
Yep.
And so with that, you can, you'll either have someone bowling, you'll either be bowling or batting. And so if you're batting, you just wait until the person throws whatever and then tap the screen to try, you know, you whirl your bat around and hopefully hit whatever they're throwing, or you're bowling at them. But it's super wacky in that, like, you might be bowling a snake. And so you'll, even if you kind of throw the snake on the ground, the snake will still slither and bite your opponent and kill them, earning you a point.
That's awesome.
You might be using a tennis racket instead of a cricket bat, like all this kind of weird and wacky shit. And so once you sort of play through the prologue, you open, there are four game modes, which is like the Ashes, the Soccer World Cup,
yep,
World War II or One. And then finally, quantum cricket, which just throws everything together into this big kind of like, you never know if you're going to be like an astronaut fighting a caveman, and you have a beach ball and he has like a lightsaber kind of thing. Like, it just goes totally weird.
That's great. And it was made by the same guys that made Broforce, right?
Yes.
That's great.
Which is amazing. Yeah. Free Lives is the developer.
Very, very quickly, just speeding through the other Devolver games I've played, Painty Mob.
Okay.
Which is like
tried that one yet.
It's very, very like pick up and play for a short burst of time. Literally a burst, because you are this weird little blobby, colorful dude who like rolls around in paint. And when it's basically you move with one hand and then you press on the other side, and that explodes paint everywhere.
Okay.
And your job is to spray all the people on the level, all the other creatures, the same color as you with paint.
Right.
But as they get angry, that you're putting paint on them, they turn into a mob, and if they run into you, you die.
Right.
So you try and get as far into the game as possible. It's very simple. It's fun. It's colorful. Okay. It's got a funny soundtrack. Cool. The Devolver game that I'm really enjoying that I want to put more time into is Bleak Sword.
Yes, I've had a bit of a run at that as well.
It's difficult as it's like a sword fighting sword fighting game, but the controls rule.
Yes.
Like it's difficult to get your head around, but it's like a lot of like waiting, like putting your finger down on the screen and then waiting, then slashing, and like there's multiple different enemies. You kind of have to make it through different waves of enemies for each level. It's so cool. It gets really complex, and there is a rogue-ish kind of element to it where you level up, but as soon as you die, if you don't kill the things that killed you, but when the next time you return to that level, you lose all your progress and you have to start at the beginning again. Or, you know, you can continue at the same level, but you've lost all of your pickups and your level. You haven't leveled up, and great.
It's good. Yeah. It's a game that I've, same as you, I've only put a little bit into. I think I just need to really hone my swipe timings for it.
Yep.
Because it's all like it's swipe and tap based, which is great. But essentially, it's a very like it's a monochrome kind of. I guess they've got red in there. Very low bit aesthetic to it. I think we mentioned Swords and Sorcery, but I think even that's more colorful and more refined than this.
And also like the bleak atmosphere of Hyper Light Drifter as well.
Yeah, yeah. And each kind of area you play through is just a little sort of like
bite-sized
challenge. Level. You're not moving through a big world.
Yeah, there's no exploration. You're just
taking these battles.
Well, you've got a screen full with enemies that you've got to kill, and that's how you progress. Yeah, I'm two games that I'm enjoying that I'll talk about more in the future. Speck, and Earth Knight.
Okay.
Earth Knight's very weird.
Yes.
Not the game I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like a Sonic-esque platformer, but instead it's like a free runner.
Yeah, but a very chaotic free runner.
You're running on top of the back of dragons. Mm. Speck is like a perspective puzzle game that I would really recommend. Very relaxing, very cool and fun.
Yesterday.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
Projection is an Australian-made game that I'm not... It's a shadow puppet platformer, but it's very story-based.
Okay.
And the story is about like a... set in Indonesia, and it's about a girl who accidentally gets in trouble with the police and runs away from home.
Right.
It's good, but the hook of it is you can manipulate shadows, but it's really, really hard because you have to move your character by moving either side of the screen and jumping. So it's almost like a limbo-like kind of game. But then you're also moving this like sphere of light that can control the shadows.
Okay.
So you can, by putting... Let's say you put the light above a certain object, then you can walk on the shadow it creates.
Right.
And that's how you can cross over gaps in the platforms and things like that. It is annoying controlling two different things at once with your fingers because you can't obviously like... You have to basically like get the girl to one side of the screen, then go back and drag the light source as well. I wonder if it's one of the ones that will be better with a different control scheme.
Yep.
So maybe I could try that in the future.
I got to admit, Apple Arcade has got me seriously considering purchasing one of those like game controllers for phones. Like the little kind of Mad Cats ones.
Yeah, well, you can even get like just a clip that you can just clip to your PS4 or Xbox controller and then that clips to your phone.
Yeah.
And then it's like almost like a little 3DS kind of system.
Yeah.
Tint is another puzzle game that I didn't like that much. It's like a color based puzzle game.
Sure.
I do love puzzle games on my phone. It's like Goragoa is one of my favorite.
Yeah, Goragoa is fantastic.
I'm looking for something similar to that, but who knows? Maybe it's out there. There's plenty of games that we haven't even tried yet, and plenty more episodes of this podcast in which we can talk about them. So
I'll run through a couple of mine quickly.
Go for it, my friend.
I've been playing Outlanders, which I've been really enjoying. It's like a village building sort of sim/strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
So it runs you through all these little scenarios. You oversee this village, essentially. You control like what's being built, what people are doing, what their jobs are, kind of thing. I'm up to like the fifth scenario, but the scenarios will be like the leader of the village. I just played through this really weird one where you need to build this thing called the Wicker Bread Man. So to do that, you need to like grow wheat that you then mill in a windmill and then bake into bread, and you need to bake 90 bread to kind of do this. And so part of that is like, okay, I need like, it's great starting each level. You look at what your your objectives are, and then plan out like, okay, so I need to build a farm. I need to make sure I've got people like cutting down wood so I can build more buildings and sort of directing people to do this and that. Yeah, it's fun. It's like, it's one of those ones where it's like, not the most mind blowing of games, but I'm like, hey, it's free.
Yeah,
essentially.
Totally.
I too played Earth Knight and had the exact same feeling where I'm just like, this is a little like,
I just wasn't ready for it yet.
Yeah.
I thought it would be like a pick up and play kind of thing, but it is, well, you need to pay a little bit more attention than I was expecting.
Mini Motorways, which is the, sequel, I guess,
the Mini Metro
sequel, yeah, or like spiritual successor to Mini Metro. It's great.
Create roads for cars to drive, right?
Yeah. It's a bit different from Mini Metro in that, like, buildings will pop up rather than stations that you need to connect. But buildings, like, the road will come one way out of the building. Because in Mini Metro, you could just connect.
Yes.
You could just throw a rail to something and it would go. But this, you actually have to plan, like, okay, the house that this building needs to get to is on the other side from where the road is. So do I do a long road around, or do I connect it to a bigger, like, road system I'm building?
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. There's about 6 or 7 cities available so far, and I think it's one of those things where as time goes by they'll keep adding. I tried Shin Sakai, the Capcom game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One.
Apparently it's a full-blown Metroidvania.
Yeah, but I was just like, I don't know if the tutorial sucks or the controls are bad, but I was just like, I can't play this. This is too, like, maybe I need to go back and try it again, but yeah, it's an underwater exploration game, essentially.
Yeah, right.
And I think,
cool,
there's definitely like Metroidvania elements, but yeah, it's just kind of left me a bit cold, mm-hmm, essentially. Like, they don't explain stuff well enough for me to go. It's like, symbol makes you jump, and you look at the screen, I'm like, there's no symbol on here. What are you talking about? Like, what's happening? I had a brief go at Exit the Gungeon.
Yeah, that's on my to-do list.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, great.
It's fucking difficult.
Yeah,
like, it's,
of course it is. You'd be so angry if it wasn't.
It has Gungeon in the title, so it's tough.
Baby's first Gungeon.
Yeah. Rayman Mini, it's a Rayman game.
See, I haven't been playing that.
Like, they're cool.
I've been sticking away from those ones because those, to me, aren't indie games. I love the Rayman games though. Rayman Jump was awesome.
Yeah, and I'm currently playing a game called Stranded Sails, which is a little like exploration game with kind of hints of like Stardew Valley or a Graveyard Keeper about it. You are on a voyage, you shipwreck on an island, and you kind of like have to reassemble the crew and grow crops and build buildings and
amazing,
all that kind of stuff.
So good. Well, look, there's so many beautiful looking icons on my phone that I need to get to.
Yeah, there's still... Oh, actually, one last one. Dear Reader.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this one.
Dear Reader is really interesting. It's a puzzle game that takes works of like kind of famous works of fiction and... So I'm playing through Pride and Prejudice at the moment. And there are 3 kind of different types of puzzles. One is like switch words around. So it'd be like that you'll be presented with like a paragraph and some of the words are jumbled up and you need to kind of figure out where each of these words go and you can tap to switch them.
Yep.
There's another one where you like drag words from the bottom to where you think they're supposed to be. And a final one where it's like whole lines that you can switch around. But yeah, it's really fun. It's I mean, I've never read Pride and Prejudice, so it means I'm going entirely off like, okay, well, what makes sense in terms of what the preceding sentence is and what the following kind of sentence fragment is?
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, and there's like a shitload of books on there. So if you're not big in... Like Pride and Prejudice is what you start with, but you can go to The Time Machine or all other great works of fiction, essentially.
So good. Well, let's just quickly... Obviously, I think What the Golf is tied number one for both of us.
Oh, 100%.
I would then go for my round up top 3. I would put Sayonara Wild Hearts and then probably Bleak Sword. That's my top 3.
Top 3 of what I've played so far is probably... I'd agree it would be... I'd say... Ooh, tough one. Number one, What the Golf. Number two, I'll go Sayonara Wild Hearts as well. I played on Switch, but the fact that it's on iPhone is fantastic. And then number 3...
Like Grindstone is probably what I would put at number 4, so I imagine that's pretty close for you.
I'm choosing between Grindstone and... You know what? Number three is Cricket Through the Ages.
Oh, cool. Of course. Well, yeah,
it's
of
just
course.
So, it's like, in the spirit of What the Golf, it's so fun and dumb.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, guys. A little update into all the games we've been playing on our phones and our Apple devices recently. Apple Arcade fucking rules.
Yep.
It's going to change. I mean, obviously, we've already got Google trying to do something similar, but it's almost like they're scrounging, like, oh, quick, what can we do? What can we offer? Like, yeah. It's all games that are already existing. There's no exclusives, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah.
But it's a really exciting service.
You can buy an iPhone.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back next week with some reviews of Ori and the Blind Forest, the new ukulele game, and...
Freedom Finger.
Excellent.
New shmup.
So all Switch games. So back to regular programming
next
week. But I think these phone-based episodes are going to be pretty regular. There's just so many good games on there.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing, like, what's... We've had this list of 40 launch titles.
Dude, it's like 80. Yeah. It's so many.
What's next? What's coming? Like, I've already seen a few new ones pop in that I'm looking forward to playing.
Well,
but yeah,
thank you so much for listening. You can get in touch with us, allthesmallgames@gmail.com. Follow us at allthesmallgame or find us at facebook.com/allthesmallgames. Individually at 16 tacos for John, at Lev Dog for me. We love hearing from you. Love talking about games. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.